Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, week one is in the books.
Yeah, this is the fun part. This is what the podcast is, you know, the reacting to a football week and then talking about the next football week. This is light lifting because we do all of our heavy work on Sunday and Monday watching the games. There's no prep that you have to do here. We're just two guys talking about football. it's so great that football's back, and I was so excited. But really, like, Chuck Klosterman is probably a smart guy, because being a football agnostic means you just get to enjoy 16 games, and they're all equal. Whereas if you're me, like, your Sunday was ruined by the Jets. You know, if they had lost, fine, they lose. But blowing a 16-0 lead, like, that ruins your day. You can't think of anything else the rest of the day.
Yeah, I disagree. When you're an agnostic, like, when you don't have a team that you're a fan of, the ultimate, what that really means is that you're not as into that sport. It's impossible to be a diehard of a,
right.
of a
well,
sport.
Well, I'm an NHL agnostic, and I'm not as big of an NHL fan as probably
exactly.
I should be.
That's what I mean.
And but I'm a college football agnostic, but I find myself year after year watching more and more college football. I mean, I've watched every college football game this season and last year.
Yeah.
But it ruined my day. It ruined my Monday. I'm over it now.
Your Monday
I'm
was
already
ruined.
Ready.
Oh, I thought your Monday was ruined by the fire in the $100,000 level Patron 32 fans group chat yesterday.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Yesterday's group chat?
Oh, I don't know. Chester, the problem with Chester...
No. First of all, no, that's only for $100,000 subscribers. We're not discussing it.
Okay. All right, fine. But I just say, just in general, you're in a good mood recently, and it's disgusting. And I hope something... something bad happens to you, but I hope you get to be...
In a bad mood?
Misery, like, loves company.
Yeah.
It's upsetting that you're just, like, happy and you're, like, content with your life, and I hope this doesn't continue.
To be honest, I was happy and content with my life and had no expectations from the Vikings. And then they went out and just curb stomped Atlanta. I mean, that game was 28-0 deep into the fourth quarter.
Listen, the Vikings are the kings of inexplicable, weird week one or two results. And I think in week 10 we're going to be like, okay, the Vikings beat the Falcons, but it's insane that they destroyed them. I think that's going to be – I think our goal today should be to not overreact to anything that happened in week one, except for the best team and the 32nd worst – you know, the 32nd best team. I think it's fair to say the Patriots look unbeatable. I'm not saying they're going to go 16-0. They're not. But, like, the Patriots are probably, like, better than they looked, because they're getting – the guy who's, like, objectively their second best player is going to be on the team Sunday. I think the Dolphins are as, like, I don't think they're going to lose every game by 40, but they could be historically bad.
Yeah.
They'll probably win a couple games, but I think there are a lot more whoopings coming
from
that. We've
never seen a team tank in the NFL before, really. You know, it's common in basketball, it's common in baseball. We had talked about it, early this year, like, well before our season previews, that the Dolphins, people thought they'd be tanking. And then when we actually came to preview the team, some of the Dolphins fans we'd spoken to said, no, they're not really doing that. You know, there's a reason they traded for Josh Rosen, for example. And then that's clearly not the case. They are tanking.
Well, coach will never tank, because one bad year, unless you have two Super Bowl rings, one bad year can get a coach fired. Like,
yeah.
If Flores goes 1-15, he's probably out the door. So he has got no incentive to tank. The GM has some incentive to tank, but they have so many picks. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you want the first pick.
The NFL's not
the
NBA. Even if you have 10 picks, that's not enough to make a contender.
They also have $110 million in cap space next year. Like, the Dolphins are really – they could – if they got a quarterback, they could reload in 1 year.
Here's the complete list of NFL teams in history that went from bad to great because of free agency. There's the list.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
The problem is that people like us, or stat guys, forget the human element. The players on the team did not want the team to trade Tunsil, because they said that's a sign that we're giving up.
Yeah.
And he was a very popular guy, and he was clearly the best player on the offense. And they traded him, and now the players...
Listen, if I had a gas mask bong, I think I'd be more popular also.
It's true. He's probably a fun guy like to hang out with in the offseason.
Yeah.
He knows how to have a good time.
Yeah.
The players don't want to be there. It's funny that there was, like, a report. Ian Rapoport will say whatever you tell him. Like, if you're an agent or an exec, he will tweet whatever you want at this point. He's really losing his fastball. Like, so... a bunch of players said, oh, they want to get traded. There's, like, four guys on the Dolphins that have, like, seventh-round trade value. I don't know. Other than their secondary, I don't know who is getting traded
from
that
team. Yeah, there's nobody.
Team.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, so they're not going to get a lot of value in trades. Let's so why don't we run through week one's games and see where we can overreact to sort of our preseason hot takes.
Okay.
Some of them look pretty good.
Yeah, and I
want to
see, like, were we right or wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
I think more Akiva was right about almost everything and Chester was wrong about almost everything, but let's go through.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree pretty strongly there. Well, okay, let's start with week one, or with the Thursday night game. Obviously, there, your Trubisky
hate. A big dub for Akiva.
Yeah, all right, so there's a big dub for you.
Yeah, I had the Packers winning division. I said Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith.
Well, I mean, the Packers did not look... I mean, the Packers offense, Aaron Rodgers especially.
No, we specifically discussed that the Packers defense, which was like the 27th best defense last year, is going to be an above-average defense. That's a huge, jump. Now, if Aaron Rodgers is not Aaron Rodgers, like, their ceiling is winning a division and maybe winning a playoff game and then getting, you know, curb stomped.
I don't know how this team
New
wins
Orleans
the division if Aaron Rodgers is not Aaron Rodgers.
You could, if you have a really good defense. I mean, I'm saying even a bad Aaron Rodgers.
You think the Packers defense is better than the Vikings defense or the Bears defense?
No, definitely not. Yeah. But I think the Packers offense could be better, is obviously better than the Bears offense pretty similar to the Vikings offense.
Well, that means Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, though.
I'm not sold on the Vikings being great. We could talk about that. Don't panic on the Bears. We'll talk about their week two opponent. I think it's a perfect matchup for them. Listen, Trubisky, I'm not a fan of. You were a little too high on. People thought I was way too low on him. I'm not shutting the door on Trubisky, but they'll be fine in week two. Let's not overreact. They were very rusty. They had not played together at all. If they suck in week two, then absolutely alert, the panic alarms.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm not worried about the Bears.
Yeah. I think the reason I was too down on the Vikings is, let's remember who the Vikings were 2 years ago, or forget about 2 years ago, coming into last season. They were, a Super Bowl favorite. They were an elite, historically great defense. They had an offense that the biggest hole had been quarterback, and they seemed to fill it with, at worst, you'd say a slightly above-average quarterback. And the problems last year were that they were just – I mean, they had two of their starting offensive linemen gone for the season before even week one. And then on defense, they were ravaged with injuries. And I think I sort of thought, well, okay, so last year they won 8.5 games, so that's what they are. They're an 8 or 9-win team. And what I forgot is that if they have the health on the offensive line and the defense that they didn't have last year, they're probably about an 11-win team.
So why do you think so? Drew McGarry, obviously a Vikings fan, said that he had an interesting point, which was that maybe other than quarterbacks, maybe the most crucial rookie, the rookie with the most pressure on them in the NFL is Garrett Bradbury, the Vikings starting center, which I would agree with. I think Josh Jacobs obviously might change the course of the Raiders, but a pre-week one scenario. The other option was the Falcons, who have two offensive linemen who are rookies starting, although one of them is out for an extended period of time already. So what do you think about Bradbury week one? Because I heard pretty mixed reviews, and him and the Garden side seemed like they were getting pushed around all game.
Where did you get those mixed reviews? Because that's not what I've read anywhere.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of videos of of Grady Jarrett just throwing them around all game. I mean, he wasn't getting to Cousins, but
so then what was he doing?
He was tearing them apart.
I mean, they averaged well over 5 yards a carry. They ran the ball whenever they wanted, and I don't think Kirk Cousins was sacked once, maybe the whole game. So I'm not sure what the source of that is. But again, the Vikings. It's my focus is much more on the defense because Julio Jones now has played against the Vikings four times, and he's never had more than 30 yards in a game. I think this week because he got a garbage time left touchdown, he ended with 31 yards on the game. But you were down on Xavier Rhodes for some reason. The only question with Xavier Rhodes is health. When he plays, he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Now health is a concern, obviously, and he left the game twice in week one. For injury reasons, but even when he was gone, they couldn't do anything. And so, one of my big concerns, and you and I had the same concern, was for the Jets and the Vikings, was depth in the secondary. But the Vikings, two of their three starting quarterbacks were out for much of this game, and and possibly the best passing offense in the NFL still did nothing against them. So I'm definitely reinvigorated, and now they go into Green Bay in week two, and let's see what they can do against Aaron Rodgers and that offense. All right, the next game I have on my list is Titans-Browns. To me, this is a loss for Uncle Kiwi and a win for me because I was down on the Browns all preseason. I did not understand the hype.
Absolutely.
And
I'm not nervous about the Browns. I think that in the course of a week, two of the four AFC South teams have lost their starting quarterbacks. One forever, one for at least half the season, maybe the whole season. So we went from Luck and Foles to Minshew and Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
The thing is that it could easily be three by 12 days from now, because Deshaun Watson, who's incredible, is not
going
to take...
We're talking about the Titans and the Browns. But
I'm just saying, listen, Deshaun Watson is the most important person in the Titans season because he's not going to take 45 hard hits a game and still be alive in week five.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And at which point, the Titans become an overwhelming favorite to win that division.
I don't think they're overwhelming. I think that the Titans are the same 9-7
team. Well, Watson without Texans?
You were saying that Marcus Mariota was going to lose his job last week.
I wasn't saying that. They literally didn't name him the starter until the middle of the preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, they had an open competition.
Yeah. I want to focus on the Browns because one of the main reasons I never understood the Browns hype was Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens is a joke. He was like the sixth option that they had to be the and it didn't make sense to me why we were assuming that he's going to be a coach of any value whatsoever.
Yeah. And as people are pointing out already, Todd Monken, who interviewed for the Jets job and the Browns job and got the Browns OC job, head coaching jobs he interviewed for, is probably the best coach on their team, and he's not even calling the plays because Kitchens is the head coach and OC, which is really tough for a first-time head coach. That could get ugly fast. Odell is already sort of angry tweeting.
Whatever. I think
the Jets might be a magic elixir for them. They're so, so talented. I know I was insanely high on them and even considered picking them to win the Super Bowl, but like they have talent coming out of everywhere. So it's completely on the head coach. There's two teams that are so held down by their head coach right now, and we're jumping the gun a little bit on Cleveland because he's coached one game. But in my mind, it's Cleveland-Detroit because Detroit, I think, also has a good team that has with an atrocious coach.
All right, well, we'll get to that one in a second. But
But anyway, I said when I did my core rankings and went through every team's roster with a fine-tooth comb for a month, the two teams that shocked me how many good B-plus players they have were the Titans and the Lions. And,
So you're not going to overreact in week one, but maybe by week five, you'll realize you were wrong about both.
No, I'm saying that, the Titans defense could be really, really good. I don't think that they're a threat to do anything other than win a division at 9-7, but, you know, it bears watching. And the Browns will be fine. The Browns will probably destroy the Jets on Monday Night Football, and they'll be fine.
All right. In that division, by the way, the Ravens, I think that people are jumping the gun a little bit. Lamar Jackson's MVP odds went from 50-1 to 18-1.
Yeah,
it's like, listen, they were playing, you know, there's always these questions about what would happen if Alabama or whoever the best college team is played an NFL team.
Yeah,
we sort of saw a version of that.
Yeah, it was Alabama versus UNC Greensboro. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The Dolphins, show us you can't judge anything. I still think, you know, my preseason pick was I had the Ravens just a slight notch above Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but I thought they were all about between 8-8, 9-7 type teams. You know, maybe the Ravens are trending towards 10-6, but we got to see it against somebody other than Miami. I don't want to jump to any.
Great week to trade Marquise Brown if you were me and the person who you made a trade with said I'm going to cut him and you had an extra roster spot. So I said, give me him. And then I made a fab claim that got denied because your brother – can I complain about something? Your brother –
I don't know what's going on in that league.
Your brother is he makes you look like the world's greatest fantasy football commissioner.
Well, everyone. I mean, because, everybody compared to me, I'm the world's greatest. The problem with my brother is he doesn't really watch sports or follow sports. So
your brother, literally, he decided that if two people make a waiver claim for a player, nobody gets the player. And so two people went for a Greg Olsen at like a dollar, and they tied. So they went for $2, and they tied. Then they had a third tie on Sunday morning. So he said, and Darren Waller also. He's like, well, just a free agent until next week. Like, no one gets him. And literally no one would agree with this decision. It's insane.
Yeah. Very strange decision. Don't you guys have rules in this league or no?
The rule is that Sammy makes up the rules as he goes along.
Yeah. See, in my leagues, I have a 75-page rule book, which addresses all possible consequences.
Marquise Brown, it's a good week to trade him. Lamar also, the thing is, they host Arizona this week, so the party could continue for one more week, because even though Kyler Murray showed a lot in the second half of the game, their defense is abominable, and Lamar Jackson's going to go insane against that Arizona defense too, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Patrick Peterson's still out, obviously, for another 5 weeks.
Yeah, they're missing a lot of people in their secondary. Defense sucks even at full strength, so they're in trouble.
Let's talk about your Jets for a second. The Jets got just utterly destroyed in this game on a play-to-play basis, but because of all those turnovers, they were, as you said, they had that nice 16-0 lead into the third quarter.
Yeah. It was a very strange game plan. Basically, Football Outsiders had this stat called failed completions, which is basically, you know, passing for 3 yards on 2nd-and-9. Adam Gase, they said, was the king of it, and then he really showed you why in this game. Because Jamison Crowder, did you see the stat, had 14 catches, but became the first wide receiver in NFL history to not have 100 yards with 14-plus catches?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went deep three times to Robbie Anderson, 0 for
3. It's like the stat
close.
Of guys who have 30 home runs and not 100 RBIs. It's sort of a similar thing.
It's the year Piazza had like
how do you have that
28 homers.
Yeah.
Piazza had like 28 homers and like 40 runs.
Yeah.
I think Gase could be a total flopperoonie already. he's already
which
losing
is surprising
the media.
Because he was so successful in Miami.
You can lose the media in New York and lose your job. We've seen it with Mets and Yankees and all sorts of coaches and managers. And Gase is already on the front page today for, you know, blaming the whole team but himself. I didn't think Darnold looked so bad. They asked him to do nothing. He threw three decent deep passes that were 50-50 that Anderson didn't come down with. The Jets did not have a 20-yard play all game. That's a true statistic. They had two plays above 12 yards all game. And they were, you know, a missed field goal and or a missed extra point from winning the game.
Yeah. I mean, because you were so high on Darnold in the preseason. And you mocked me when I had him, you know, very low in my quarterback rankings.
Their offensive line does suck. He didn't have
Who
any time to
Who would you rather
throw.
Have right now, Josh Allen or Sam Darnold?
Oh, everyone would say Darnold. The Bills would say Darnold.
Okay, I'm just and just to see how low you are on Trubisky, who would you rather have right now, Josh Allen or Mitch Trubisky?
Darnold with the Bills. Go watch video. One of the great things about Twitter now is there's so many like smart people cutting videos. Watch video of the Bills offensive line against the Jets, who supposedly had like a top five D line. Darnold would have gone 30 for 30 with 400 yards and three touchdowns. And I'm not even saying he's great. Like Mariota would have done that too. Like Dalton would have done that. Allen literally had all day to throw all game. Josh Allen is abominable, Chester. He fumbles
every time he touches the ball. I'm not saying he's any good. I just wanted to see.
No, Darnold's worst game is better than Allen's best game.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Allen has, you know, a weapon in his legs, but yeah, he's still very inaccurate down the field. So, you know, we'll see. I guess we'll learn a little bit more about the Bills this week also.
Yeah, the Bills' offensive line is good. Their defense might be scary good. Yeah. Like they might be who we thought Denver would be, you know, and they could easily go 8-8 or even sneak into that sixth spot. I mean, Allen sucks, but first of all, like he has a really great arm, and Jones and Brown are like really solid deep threats. Foster, they didn't really play, but he can go deep too. They have sort of the right team. The GM and the coach know what they're doing there. Like they have a vision. I don't think it can go anywhere with like long term with Allen being Allen, but there's a lot more talent there than maybe you know I gave them credit for.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Eagles and Washington game for a second.
Yeah.
You know the Eagles are sort of their issues that they had even in their Super Bowl year they still have now, but probably a little stronger. And those issues are twofold. Defensively, they have one of the worst secondaries in the league, which is how Case Keenum can throw for 380 yards against you.
Yeah.
And offensively, they have five running backs, but they have no running back. And, you know, maybe it'll take time. You know, you can't automatically expect a rookie to explode in the first game. But I think Darren Sproles actually got the start and led the team in rushing. And that's not ideal when little tiny Darren in his mid-30s is your...
The truth is their numbers, it's a little deceiving because they struggled for so much of the game. But their rushing numbers were actually fine. They ran for 4 yards a carry. Howard had a few good carries. Miles Sanders was useless.
Yeah.
But they weren't really opening up holes
for
him.
But also, they gave him a chance. I mean, I think he had 13 carries for 25 yards. So
one of the main things we said about the Eagles is like, what are they going to do on the other side besides Jeffrey? Like, I'm not a big Aguilar guy, but if DeSean Jackson is still Jackson,
obviously DeSean Jackson only has these games against his former teams though. So
Now it's interesting because the strength of their team is the offensive line, which didn't have its best game, and the pass rush, which did nothing against Zach Keenum once, didn't really get in his face. Their run defense is incredible. That, you know, the Redskins did nothing. They didn't even try and run, and they were unsuccessful when they did.
Yeah.
But you're right. Their secondary blew. They looked McLaurin, who's Haskins' teammate, who's a late round draft pick, look like Jerry Rice.
I mean, if you're Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, to go from the Minnesota secondary in week one to the Philly secondary in week two, they got to be licking their chops. And I think Philly Atlanta's going to be one of the most interesting games of week two.
That is an interesting game. I mean, there's a lot of good NFC games because that Minnesota Green Bay game is awesome also. I think that, you know, Wentz is such a stud now, you know, whenever he's healthy, and he's fun to watch. I think this the Eagles, this was like a preseason game. They got it out of their system. If they played the Redskins again this week, they'd win by 20.
Yeah, probably. Rams-Panthers, we both were on the hot take that Carolina was actually going to win this game. And, you know, it looked that way for a lot of the game, and it ended...
People are, like, writing them off. Like, Simmons and Cousin Sal were like, yeah, Carolina, they're not special. They're like, yeah, they lost to the Rams. You know who else has lost to the Rams last 2 years? Almost every team.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if they start losing at home to Tampa, I will get very worried about Carolina. But right now, I think they're fine.
Yeah, and I thought Carolina fought back. I think the Rams took, like, a two-touchdown lead in the second quarter. I thought Carolina... this was a close game. I think that Carolina is going to be okay. Now, whether they're I had them winning that division at a three-way 10-6 battle because of a tiebreaker, but that I had them mm-hmm. winning this game against the Rams. So if they're 9-7 instead of 10-6, they're in trouble because 9-7 is not going to get it done in the NFC. But yeah. I think Carolina's okay. The Rams, you know, they have, what, three running backs now? Because Malcolm Brown, everybody thought it was going to be Henderson who was going to be sort of.
Henderson didn't really touch the ball. Yeah. But, I mean, Gurley.
Gurley looks very good, but I think they did the right thing, which is there's no reason to give Gurley the ball 25 times a game.
No, especially you're a team that is planning on being in the playoffs. So you want Gurley to be healthy in the playoffs.
Yeah. Goff did not look amazing, but.
No, Goff looked very bad. Yeah. Goff was near the bottom of yards per attempt. Like, Goff was not good at all.
Yeah. Rams Saints, obviously, that's going to be the premier game in week two.
Absolutely.
Chiefs at Jaguars, you know, obviously the Nick Foles. I was very low on the Jaguars. Were you one of the people who was high on the Jaguars? I thought they were easily the worst team in this division.
Okay, so during the podcast, during like the month that we did the podcast, I did, you know, I was not anything on the Jaguars. And then really like just looking at how some of their, you know, Allen looked and reading more about the Jaguars, I almost picked them. I don't remember what it was like a 50-50 thing. I don't remember if I picked them or the Chargers to make the playoffs. Maybe someone remembers. But I said they were the seventh best team, and then I may have switched it. I don't remember. And I mean, listen, if you're competitive against the Chiefs, that's all you can ask for. Like the Chiefs have not, like I said last week in our week one preview, Chiefs have not lost to a non-elite. They're only lost to a team that's not a world beater was in Seattle.
Because as bad as Jacksonville was last year, when they played the Chiefs, for example, their defense was still good. I think they were the only team Mahomes didn't have a touchdown against last year. In week one, he had almost 400 yards and three touchdowns, and that was without Tyreek Hill in the game. So Jacksonville, if their defense is not elite, forget about whether their quarterback is Foles or Minshew or you or me. If their defense is not elite, Jacksonville has no chance of winning even 6 or 7.
I'd say let's see what happens this week, but this week they have Deshaun Watson. So let's talk about Mariota in week three.
Well, they're going to fall into a deep 0-2 hole. Yeah, I mean, I still think
let's see their defense against Mariota. Now, hey, listen, yes, if Gardner Minshew looks like Tony Romo against you, then your defense probably is horrendous.
Well,
you were talking about
Kansas City, and you were right about that.
Yeah,
their defense stinks.
I mean, they lost a lot of guys from,
but they still won on the road by two touchdowns. So,
listen, nobody's blown them out. They have not been blown out in the Mahomes era. So, you know, they are a nightmare to play. They lost their most dynamic player. It's weird because like they had Hunt and Hill, and now it's like, oh, they just need Mahomes. It's like Sammy Watkins, who was useless everywhere else. Yep, he's amazing now.
All right, let's talk about Colts Chargers. Is your biggest takeaway here?
The best game until Monday Night Football.
Is your biggest takeaway here that the Colts are better than we thought, or the Chargers are worse than we thought?
You know, the smart people all said like the Colts are fine. They're an 8-8 team still. They're not an incompetent team.
Brissett was incredible, by the way.
Brissett was really good, and again, he had the other 32 teams all had starting quarterbacks who at least had the opportunity, you know, to be the starting quarterback. Not all of them, you know, practiced and played in the preseason, but they were all like the lead guy. Brissett became the lead guy at the very end of the entire summer.
Well, no, because Luck was injured in the first part of the summer.
No, but he was not planned.
Maybe not
they were
mentally.
Not,
yeah,
they didn't game plan. Their plays were not the coaches were not writing plays for Jacoby.
I mean,
Brissett.
I was incredibly impressed by Brissett. Obviously, Vinatieri cost them the game with all his missed kicks.
Yeah, they could and should have won the game against a very good team.
Yeah. You know, the Chargers.
I'm nervous about in 10 weeks. I'm nervous about what Philip Rivers is going to look like.
Well, we had
they
talked
no left
about
tackle.
This, or I had talked about this in our Chargers preview. Like, this is a team that has a lot of injuries, has a lot of missing pieces.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a little bit worried about the Chargers. And again, you know, they don't have a home field advantage against anybody. And so now they got the win, and that's what matters. Seahawks Bengals. You know, I'm on Team Bengals. I picked their coach to be a coach of the year candidate. I think they're going to go 500. So. You know, they were winning this game for most of the game. Obviously, Seattle, you know, scores that late touchdown to take the lead, and then Cincinnati kicks that field. I don't know what they were doing. But anyway, I don't have a lot of takes here. We'll see. Seattle at Pittsburgh, I think, will also be a game that's important in week two to see are either one of these teams contenders or not. The Bengals, though, what do you have any – have your feelings improved on the Bengals at all or not really?
Here, the only thing that we sort of missed that we didn't really focus on is like everyone knows that Marvin Lewis sucked by the end of his tenure, if he didn't always suck.
Yeah.
And going from Marvin Lewis to anybody should be a big jump. Now, we were very skeptical about Zach Taylor because he has no history.
We just didn't know
of doing
about him. Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes sense, right? Going from Lewis to like a new coach who maybe knows what they're doing, who at least like has been in the vicinity of people who know what they're doing, is a big upgrade. I'm still not sold on the Bengals. I don't think it's a great team.
Oh, I don't think it's a great team, but I don't think it's one of the bottom five teams in the league.
I don't see them doing better than 8-8.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, but 8-8, I think, is a lot better than most people have them. All right.
I agree.
Speaking of bottom five teams in the league that aren't going to be 8-8, the Giants, you know, Dak Prescott literally was perfect, and, you know.
People were like, oh, because I was so anti-Dak, and, yeah. I'll take it. He was obviously incredible week one, historically great. But and then I said the same thing
versus Mitch Trubisky, I think, on this one.
But you know, it's not a scenario where it'll sort of bounce back this week because the Redskins who just let Wentz run wild in week two.
Yeah,
I mean they're not a totally competent defense. And then they have the Dolphins in week three. They have the Jets soon also. Like the train may stop for Dak, but it's not going to be until after he signs the $80 trillion contract in a few weeks.
Yeah, I still think
that team schedule.
Prescott is your quarterback.
That might be the easiest first half schedule in the history of the NFL.
The Patriots. Have you seen the Patriots schedule after week one?
No, I think the Cowboys is easier.
Yeah, and the Patriots, by the way, have had an easy schedule for each of the last 15 years. So
they have six automatic wins. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the tie. These were probably two of the worst. These are probably two of the worst six or seven teams in the league. The Lions are absolutely awful.
No, I don't think the Lions are that bad. I don't think they're that bad. The Cardinals are definitely in the bottom. The thing is that.
All right, well, hold on. Let's get to some consensus here. Matt Patricia is one of the worst coaches in the NFL.
He might be the worst coach. He very well might be the worst coach. He's incompetent.
I can't understand some of the decisions he makes. I literally think that he's trying to lose his job, and I don't know why that would be his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But it just
what in particular bothered you about Patricia?
You know,
the overtime stuff.
I'd have to go back and look at my notes of the play-by-play from that.
I mean, it was a vintage Stafford game, like destroying a bad defense.
Yeah. Well, but then he couldn't destroy it when it mattered.
In the fourth quarter, they couldn't really run in Arizona, which is slightly concerning. Yeah. I was very
also they
high
were settling
on
for the tie in overtime, and that made no sense.
Well, obviously, but Arizona even more so. No,
but Arizona's not playing for anything this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, what's Detroit playing for? The Super Bowl? Like, what do you think Detroit is? You're just mad because it messes up all your charts to add the third column for ties.
Oh, no, I love ties. I'm pro ties.
Oh, you do? Because ties like kissing your sister. You love them.
No. I like ties because it resolves all the tiebreaker issues down the line. When you have a team that's tied, you don't have to worry about the fourth tiebreaker.
I like the tie. I was the tiebreaker guy at NBC. I love ties.
Yeah. So, I'm a fan of ties. I think both of these teams are really, really, really bad. And I think we're going to see that.
I think the Lions are frisky. I know their defense sucked in the fourth quarter. I think their defense is actually not so bad.
And I need to see Kyler Murray play a good team before I draw any conclusions. But, you know, obviously that the fourth
Murray is going to take, you know, we talked about Deshaun Watson. Murray's going to take hits this year that you've never seen before. Because if you watch that game, you saw that the linemen, maybe Detroit's just a dirty team, or maybe the guys are just rusty. But the linemen, the D linemen and the front seven guys for Detroit took so many cheap shots at Murray that didn't get called because he's so small that like what's nothing to Ben Roethlisberger is like a life, you know, career threatening injury to Murray. He got hit out of bounds. Like it wasn't that late, but all other 31 quarterbacks in the league get that call. If you remember that play, like he was getting hit so much. It's going to be. And he had a lot of passes knocked down, which, by the way, so did Darnold, which is very concerning. If you're not 6'4", you're in trouble as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. We've seen that from Drew Brees and Russell Wilson and a lot of guys.
Drew Brees is a borderline immortal player. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're not 6'4", like, you're at... It's funny, Sanchez had the same problem when he was with the Jets, and Darnold had, like, no joke, like, six balls knocked down.
Murray was so good in the fourth quarter, but he did nothing for three quarters. So
no, I think Murray's going to be, like, the most exciting player in the league.
All right.
But you know, it'll be like the crappy 4 o'clock, like Arizona at Seattle, you know, the last game they only see on the red zone when everything else is in commercial games.
Yeah. San Francisco, Tampa, those are two teams that we thought were about even. That
it
was
a really poorly played game. It was really ugly.
Yeah. Jameis is just, I just don't, if he's going to play like this the rest of the season, forget about bringing him back next year. I don't know how he's going to finish the season.
Yeah, I looked up the backup before the show. It's Blaine Gabbert, so he's not exactly being pushed. But at a certain point, you just have to cut the
cord. But he wasn't being pushed last year, and he got benched multiple times for Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but Fitzpatrick has more of a history than Blaine Gabbert of, like, being competent.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, the Mariota-Winston thing, like, 2 weeks ago it looked like, well, they're both bad, but maybe Winston's winning it because, like, at least they'll have a job. And now Mariota's, like, all the way back after one game, again, not to overreact. Yeah. And Winston is, you know, people are making XFL jokes, but the XFL might not even want him by next February.
In San Francisco, you know, they didn't do very much offensively. They got to 31 points because of all those pick sixes that Winston was throwing. You know, they have another running back go down. They lost McKinnon. They lost Coleman. So now they're down to, what, Raheem Mostert and Matt Breida, I think.
It's crazy because I talked in the preseason about how they had the deepest running back and wide receiver core in the league. But they've lost, like, five guys already, yeah. Right? I think Wilson is injured, too. Wilson.
How do they have deep receivers? Dante Pettis is their number one receiver.
They don't have – I'm not saying they have good receivers. I'm just saying they had, like, eight, like
– bad
you
receivers.
Know,
okay.
Yeah, like, guys you know.
Yeah.
Or, like, draft picks. We talked very little about Tampa in the preseason, honestly. But Bruce Arians could be in an Art Shell situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, or Joe Gibbs, where it's like, okay, he was good,
guys.
Then not good, and then you bring him back a second time, and it's like,
is Dick Vermeil the only example of a guy who was a good coach, was gone for a long time, comes back when he's old, and actually does something successfully?
It's upsetting that, like, you know, there was the Jimmy Johnson talk for a million years, and then Bill Cowher, but neither of those guys ever came
back. And by the way, John Gruden's another example of this. Like, these guys, other than Vermeil, these guys never, ever, ever work out.
It's true. Gruden at least was sort of around football. I know he was just commentating, but he was like meeting and analyzing the quarterbacks and stuff. He wasn't as out of the league. His brother's a head coach. Like, he wasn't as out of the league as Joe Gibbs was, who was doing NASCAR stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Wasn't even watching football, probably.
Yeah. The Steelers-Patriots game, obviously we hate the Patriots, but I was happy to see that just because it annoyed me that people were not – that the people were still considering the Steelers a contender this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so worried. I mean, yeah, the Patriots might
just destroy
everybody.
They're not a good
team,
and they lost their best player, and they didn't replace him, and shockingly, their offense sucks now. And again, I've been anti-Roethlisberger for just about his entire career.
They'll be fine. I'm telling you, the Steelers will be fine.
The AFC is so bad that everyone in the AFC...
I mean, they could be the second best team. Well, they're probably not better than Kansas City or the Chargers, but like they could be in theory.
It's the Chiefs, it's the Patriots, and there's no other team in the AFC that I think would have a chance at a playoff spot in the NFC. And so, yeah, Pittsburgh is still an 8-8-9.
What, you think the Chargers are much worse than the Vikings?
Okay, that's fair. No, the Chargers, there's no other team in the AFC that would be a lock for the playoffs.
I mean, the Saints are generally considered the best team, and the Texans basically outplayed them. So you're being a little hard on the Texans.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, well... I don't like Bill O'Brien. I don't like his decision making. I don't like their offensive line.
But their talent is undeniable. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the offensive line is abominable. Although, I mean, Tunsil was a stud.
Yeah.
Now they only have four atrocious offensive
line. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that Monday night game. So, to me, a bit of that is that...
Do you think that's the game of the year by the end of the year still?
No,
or do you think something passes it?
No way. Okay. And honestly, until the last minute, it wasn't a great game.
No, it was very good.
You know, Breeze... had a couple of bad decisions there. He had I think he only had the one pick, but he had a couple others that probably should have been picked.
Remember how boring the QBs were when we grew up, and now we got like Lamar Jackson and Deshaun and Kyler Murray like running around every week and just doing awesome things. Like it was like, oh, Wade Wilson's in. Now like even the bad teams have like an exciting quarterback.
But even at the top, like, you know, there weren't that many great quarterbacks when we were kids. You had Favre and Marino and Elway, I guess, but you know, there weren't There weren't as many guys now, you know. No. Obviously,
Rich Gannon was announcing Sunday, and I wanted to say that to him. It's like, you think you'd be MVP nowadays, fool?
Yeah. You know, Houston looks pretty impressive there, but yeah, I'm very worried about Deshaun Watson as a Deshaun Watson fantasy owner. I'm not sure how he's going to make it 16 games the way that O'Brien's calling calls. And now let's end with the Broncos Raiders game. So this was you beat me, by the way, in our picks in week one. You went 11-4-1. I went 10-5-1. The only game we disagreed that I was correct on, because Detroit-Arizona was a tie, so nobody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The only game I was correct on was this game that I had Oakland, you had Denver. And I just, you know, I was sort of anti-Fangio. And I wasn't anti-Vic Fangio because I had a lot of reasons to think he was bad. I just have no reason to think he's good. There's a reason that he's 61 years old and he never got a head coaching job. You look at his job as a defensive coordinator, the Bears had an average to below average defense for 3 years in a row. And then all of a sudden last year they were amazing. Because at 60, he learned something new. And you go look at his career, the only time that he had good defenses was in San Francisco, and everybody credited Jim Harbaugh, not Fangio. There's a reason he never got a head coaching job. There's a reason he wasn't even ever considered for a job. And he had a bunch of idiotic comments in the preseason. And then he just made multiple awful, awful decisions in this game, from kicking a field goal when he's down 21-6 late in the fourth quarter to kicking an extra point when he's down 21 to 9 later with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, to the way he used his timeouts. Just
no, the 15 is a much worse decision, because the down by nine is sort of like it doesn't matter mathematically.
What, down by what? What do you mean?
You said down by nine, they kicked an extra point?
Yeah, they were down by 15. And they scored a touchdown. And then they kicked
an extra
point.
Yeah, but that's not a mathematical decision. It's a strategy like, hey, I think we'll get it later decision.
No. That is objectively the worst decision an NFL coach can possibly make. You can argue the merits of kicking a field goal or going for it or punting. There is absolutely zero reason to not go for two the first time. All you're doing is delaying information. You need to have the information now. You need to know whether you make or miss the two-point conversion.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I also think, like, I almost get as a rookie coach, like, I want this to be a one-possession game. I could say, oh, we lost a one-possession game.
But that's the point. You're not trying to win. You're trying to keep the score close, and that's stupid.
Yeah. The field goal on 4th and 9 down 15 is
no, that wasn't nearly as bad to me. When you're down,
it was because it doesn't it doesn't affect your win percentage by 0.001%. The kicking it. I understand why you do it.
Yeah.
Because you need to know now if you're down by two scores if you make the 2-point conversion.
Exactly.
I totally get it, but it doesn't affect your win percentage at all. Your win probability
your win
when you're down 15 and you kick a field goal goes way down that second.
It doesn't affect your win probability because your odds of making the 2-point conversion later and now are the same.
Essentially the same, yes.
Yeah, I understand.
Unless there's numbers that say it's not, in which case I'd be curious because
if you are trying,
you could catch a defense asleep up 9 better than up 2.
If you are trying to win a game, there's no reason to do it the way he did it. Because all you are doing is delaying a decision. And every time a coach makes this idiotic decision, I always say the same thing. I say, I hope they do score a touchdown with no time remaining and miss the two-point conversion. Because the point is, if they had done it the other way and missed the two-point conversion, they know, okay, we got to score quickly. And instead, they're going to waste all their time. Anyway, so, Fangio, really, really unimpressive. Flacco, obviously, very unimpressive. Oakland, they
I honestly think their receivers looked real good. Sutton and Sanders are actually, who knew Sanders would be healthy? Fant was not the rookie tight end.
Sanders was very good last year with Case Keenum.
Yeah, but he tore his Achilles, though.
Yeah, but he was back, from the, what's the ESPN, the medical person they have? What's her
Stefania?
Name? Yeah, Stefania Bell. She had said that he would look totally back. And so, yeah, it's impressive for a guy at that age.
But Fant, we didn't talk about Hockenson, the tight end who had, the best
Detroit
day ever for a rookie tight end. But Fant, the other first-round rookie
Arizona
tight end, I believe he was first round, didn't really do anything. But I like Denver. The Denver's team from 2 to 53 is fine. The problem is Flacco is so, so bad. Oakland, is a bad matchup for them because Carr just throws the ball right away, so you can't get to him. This week, with they're going to run roughshod, and we could talk about that game in a second. Them in Chicago, the final score is going to be -7 and -9.
Yeah. what I've been doing all year, by the way, it's only been 2 weeks, but in our Fantasy Defense Survivor League, I just pick who's ever playing Denver. I think their offense can't do anything. So
no, I mean they can't.
I picked Oakland in week one.
Flacco
I picked Chicago.
Flacco
week two.
Is the worst. I mean, would you rather have Gardner Minshew or Flacco? Probably Minshew, because at least he might be okay.
Yeah, he might be. Something. Yeah,
I'd rather have Josh Allen. At least he could run every play.
When I was in YU, there was the YU Network back in those days. I'm sure you remember that, right?
That's and our I've college told this, for people.
Yeah, I would download every single movie I had never heard of because if I've never heard of the movie, there's a chance it might be good. Whereas if I had heard of it and I wasn't,
it's usually a B movie, right? But if it's the X-Files 2, oh, that's got to suck.
Yeah. So Gardner Minshew probably will never be an NFL starter caliber quarterback, but we just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I'd rather have him. I had never heard of him. By the way, I don't know how a team with Nick Foles as a starting quarterback was so derelict in getting a backup quarterback.
Yeah, it is true. Guys always injured. They had freaking Gardner.
Always injured.
They already traded for Dobbs, the Steelers backup. But
anyway, all right, so let's jump to week two.
Okay.
What did you think of those Bucks Panthers commercials for the Thursday night game?
I didn't see them because I watched the game afterwards.
Oh, they were on nonstop during the Monday night games.
No, I watched on Game Pass the next morning.
They're trying to play up Bucks Panthers as one of the NFL's great rivalries.
I mean, every NFC South game is always ugly but close.
Yeah. So Tampa at Carolina. What's your pick?
No, Carolina's going to blow the doors off the Bucks.
Yeah. I don't know if the doors are going to be blown off, but
the doors are going to be blown off.
Yeah. All right. San Francisco at Cincinnati. This is very similar to me at San Francisco at Cincinnati last week. You and me.
Chester, is this a loser leaves town match?
Yeah.
These teams are really desperate.
You and me and Bill and Sal, we all thought Cincy would be favored. You by 4.5. San Francisco was favored on the road. To me, that's insane.
Makes no sense.
What did San Francisco do to impress
Cincinnati was totally fine against. Yeah. That game was in Seattle, right?
Yeah, that was in Seattle, and they lost.
They were
by
totally
one.
They were
competitive
winning most of that in game. Seattle. Yeah.
I'm picking Cincy.
The Bengals
are
going to win.
To win to cover.
Garoppolo had some, talk about Jimmy G, Jameis in that game. Jimmy G had some real shaky moments also.
Yeah. Luckily, he was opposite Winston. So
he's not playing with Tom Brady's weapons, but still.
Yeah. Well, you said they had the best running backs and receivers or whatever the hell you just said.
Who, the Patriots?
No, the 49ers.
No, I said they had the deepest room. They had 10 guys who you didn't think would get cut. They just all got injured. We made fun of that McKinnon signing last year. He's never going to play a snap for them.
Yeah. Now, you were the one who was high on Detroit. I'm the one who was low on Detroit. And yet, when I predicted every game of the season before the season, I actually had the Lions beating the Chargers in week two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to flip-flop.
I'm rooting for a tie. I want a team to be 0-0. When was the last time a team was 0-0-2?
Oh,
probably like
two?
The 60s.
Yeah, I'm getting. Yeah. Oh, I was going to guess even the 40s.
No, like, there were a lot of ties, I feel like, in the AFL.
Well, because there was no overtime.
There was no overtime. There was a lot of ties.
Yeah. I
think it's a competitive game. The Chargers win. I think it's a competitive game.
All right, yeah. All right. All right. Minnesota at
I think
Green
Detroit
Bay.
Can move the ball on the Chargers.
Minnesota at Green Bay played in week two last year in Green Bay. It was an amazing game. Speaking of ties, that ended in a tie in the end of the kicker's career in Minnesota.
By the way, thank you for Kari Vedvik. Man, what a prize. He's already cut.
Oh, they cut him?
Yeah, of course. They didn't want to let him, if they had a road game, they would have made him walk home.
See, I mean, talk about the
highs. He literally lost them the game. They lost by 1 point.
Well,
he missed
so
an extra point and a field goal.
You got to respect Vinatieri. Vinatieri openly had all these quotes. He's like, if I was the GM, I'd cut myself.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you something?
He's also 46 and doesn't care.
How bad Vedvik was? Yeah. They went, and Gase is the most conservative coach in the league. They went for two up 14.
Yeah.
They didn't trust Vedvik to kick the extra point anymore.
Yeah. So who's their new kicker?
They picked a guy, a Flick. I had never heard of him. He was on the Packers team in the preseason.
Yeah. Poor Kari Vedvik. All right. Yeah. The Ravens stole a fifth-round pick from the Vikings. That's embarrassing. All right. Minnesota at Green Bay. Who are you picking here?
What about the Bills? The Patriots gave a sixth-round pick for some center the Bills didn't want, and then they cut him immediately. So it's not just the Vikings that do stuff like that. By the way, the Vikings and the Patriots, teams that have really utilized the compensatory draft. Like, you can do stuff like that. You can take risks. No, the compensatory, not supplemental.
Supplemental's
different.
Yeah, sorry. All right, Minnesota at Green Bay, what's your pick?
I think I'm going to go with the home team. I think this game will be great. I think I'm going to go 23-20 Green Bay.
Yeah, I can't pick the Vikings to go into Green Bay and win, as impressive as
I'm definitely nervous about LaFleur. There were some weird things going on in week one, but hey, he's a rookie coach. Unless he's totally incompetent, he'll grow with the job.
All right. Indy at Tennessee.
Yeah, this is interesting because Indy could end up like losing close game and then being like, oh, shoot, this is their Jets 1999 year where it's like we lose our quarterback. By the end of the year, the Colts are like the best team in the league, but it's too late and they're like 7-9. I'm going to say Tennessee's going to win. I think Indy's a little better, but Tennessee at home,
they have luck,
I think.
They were still starting the season on the road against two, above 500 teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they already lost Funches, a starting receiver. That's not a great sign.
Yeah, but, I mean, he never did anything in Carolina. He wasn't, I don't think that Indy, even in the luck era, was going to be very reliant on Devin Funches.
I don't think so either. The problem, it's not that Devin Funches is a superstar. It's a lot of times your backups suck, and you're playing street guys who can't get open.
Patriots at Dolphins, what's your margin of victory here?
Yeah, I don't know if the Patriots – I mean, it is a perfect storm, right, because the Patriots are not a type of team that take their foot up the gas.
Antonio Brown is coming back.
Antonio Brown is going to want to do something. By the way –
they lost in Miami last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not Gase. He's going to take that out on the Jets because that was Gase's play.
What's your predicted margin of
victory? I mean, I guess. I would stay away from this game as a gambler. It wouldn't be one of my better bets of the week. But I guess I will have the Patriots cover. I'll say – 35-14 Patriots.
All right, so 21-point spread. I would take the over.
I'm also at a certain point, if you're blowing them out, like Brady is literally 42. Like, you have to take him out of the game if you're winning. So I don't know how much they could run up the score. But even, like, bringing in the backup running back is just so much better than anything Miami has. They could just run.
One of my biggest frustrations in week one was in a lot of these games that were blowouts.
You eating?
Yeah, I'm eating a tuna sandwich.
Just stop eating. I haven't eaten dinner yet. It's 10:24 at night. I'm being professional.
Well, it's 3:24 in the afternoon. I haven't had lunch yet. One of my frustrations in week one was we talk all the time now in the NFL about the injury risk, and that's why guys aren't playing in the preseason, and that's why the players are so opposed to an 18-game schedule, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Why are starters playing late in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, no. Some coaches are really bad at it. They want to, like – they're too concerned with, like, I would rather win 38-10 or whatever. I thought Coughlin was always bad at that. I'm trying to think what other coaches were bad at just not taking their guys out. But, I don't think
anyone from New England should play after the first possession of the third quarter. It should be like week three of the preseason.
The Patriots should go split squad for this game. They should, like, rest half the guys and then rest the other half. You know, their, like, 18-game season where everyone only plays 16 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be a perfect opportunity for that. Like, rest Brady.
By the way,
Antonio Brown.
One of the reasons – that would be so awesome just to see the strategy and just to see, coaches make
decisions. Could you imagine some of these guys?
Yeah. gambling chaos. Because how early in the week would they have to announce the lineup?
Yeah, I'd love to see Matt Patricia. You know why they wouldn't do that for gambling reasons? They won't. They won't. It messes up the gambling too much.
Yeah, you'd have to force teams to announce their roster too early in the week, which they can't do.
And you'd also like really have to skew it late, I think, because first of all, you need much bigger rosters for this. If you're sitting everyone two games, you'd need like rosters well into the 60s. But
70s even.
I think. And by the way, NFL rosters should be about 60 anyway. All the roster sizes are all determined based on like 1908 rules in every sport. Baseball roster should be way. I mean, you're an AL fan, but every NL team needs like 9 or 10 relievers. Like, it's not fair. And if you're in the union, like, why does every loogie guy need to, you know, pitch 95 times a year and then have their arm fall off after 3 years when you could bring up your AAA depth whose arms don't matter and let them pitch every time? It's 8-1. No one who's relevant should ever be in the game. Baseball
teams
should have 9 or 10
relievers.
Well, that's
why we see more position players than we ever did growing up.
Yeah, well, last year it happened, but then the union went insane, and it's not even allowed next year, I don't think, anymore.
To have position players?
Yeah, I believe they're banning it. And we haven't really seen it this year either, because the union doesn't want guys who aren't pitchers pitching because they could get injured. It's absurd in 18-2 games.
Nobody's forcing these guys to pitch, though.
Yeah, you literally are. If the manager says pitch, you have to pitch. Like,
but these guys are fighting to pitch. They want to.
I'm not disagreeing, but I think the union's job is to protect them from themselves sometimes. You are a lawyer, right?
Hold on one second. Hold on. You have a tummy ache? Do you need to make a poop?
I hope this stays in.
No. I'm talking to you, Akeem. I'm not talking to Allie. Do you want some? You want some candy juice? Yeah. Okay. Hold on, Akiva. So in our house, we have yucky juice, which you're familiar with, right?
I certainly am. Why do you have yucky juice in your house?
No, we don't. No, we have candy juice as well.
Oh, okay.
Candy juice is
juice.
No. What do you give kids when they have stomach aches again? What are they called?
Apple juice.
Prunes. Give me a candy.
Okay. Good night.
Yeah, which is a prune candy. Yummy. It's going to make your tummy feel better. Yeah. Here, bite it. Don't put the whole thing in your mouth. You got to bite it. All right. Where were we?
Orange juice, apple juice? I don't know what candy juice is.
Prune juice. I told you.
Prune juice. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Where were we? What game were we up to? Oh, Buffalo at the Giants.
Yeah. I think the Bills probably win this
game.
I'm
hosting some Bills this week. They didn't even bother going back to Orchard Park. They just stayed in New Jersey.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I bet there are a couple Jets or Giants who live in your neighborhood, right? There's a couple places in New Jersey where sort of rich New York athletes live who don't have to be in the city. I think what's the one where I think Eddie Murphy used to live there. What's that?
Eddie Murphy lives. His old house was in my neighborhood.
Oh, in your neighborhood. Wasn't it Clifton? Is that a place? Montclair.
Actually,
it's a little more upper middle class. I don't know.
Alicia Keys and Swizz Beatz, their house, which they bought from Eddie Murphy, which is like across the street from our synagogue, actually, it just sold recently, and we don't know who sold it, but on Sunday we drove by and there was a party there, so we're trying to figure out who owns it now.
Yeah, you're not going to get invited to those parties.
That's the premier house in the neighborhood, probably. All right, so Buffalo at the Giants, what's your pick here?
Yeah, I like Buffalo. I don't think the Giants are as bad as they showed. They have some ability. The defense did look lost. The secondary looked abominable. The problem is now you have Shepard and Tate out. So, like, how much can Saquon do
by
Buffalo himself?
Starting the season 2-0 on the road?
2-0 on the road, 2 wins in New York before they even play at home.
Yeah, and those games are in New Jersey. You know what? I'm going to pick the Giants. Not that they did anything impressive in week one other than Saquon. But I can't see the Bills starting 2-0 on the road.
Bills are going to go 8-8 for sure.
Josh Allen's things. All right,
2-0, and they still have 2 games against the Dolphins, 1 against the Jets.
Seattle
and
Pittsburgh. This is an important game to me because the team that loses this game is in a huge amount of trouble.
No, the Seahawks at 1-1 are in trouble.
Yeah, Seattle
haven't played
really
a conference
game
yet.
Yeah, no, that's true. Seattle, I forgot. Seattle was underwhelming.
I mean, I'll certainly agree that if you lose Seattle playing all the way across the country at 1 o'clock on the road, that's a very bad sign. It's a much worse sign than New England loss, obviously. Seattle can very clearly afford to lose one of the harder games on their schedule. I think Pittsburgh wins this game. I think it's a really good game. I think it's like 34-31 Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, if Pittsburgh loses, they're done. So I'll say Pittsburgh also, but there was nothing impressive in week one. All right, Dallas at Washington. Dallas is going to win, right? We don't need to discuss this game.
I mean, Washington wasn't nearly as bad as we thought. Like, we had Washington with, like, the Giants and the Dolphins at the bottom, and maybe they're a little better.
Well, but you also just said that if they played again, they'd lose by 20 to Philly, though.
Yeah. By the way, these running back, it's like you could either stay healthy forever or you can't. Like, Geismann is his first year. Now he's out for who knows how long. It's never going to happen for him. Weird shot. Jay Gruden taking such a weird shot at Adrian Peterson. Maybe it just came out wrong where he said, like, when they asked him why he didn't sit, he's like, well, if we need to run, you know, the I formation 51
times. In an I formation.
Like, and then, like, he was going to ask to get cut, I'm sure, except, you know, now he's your starting running back. Thompson the weirdest running back ever? Like, he only catches passes? Doesn't run the ball.
There's a lot of guys like that.
Name another guy who's like seven pass, you know, like back in the day it was Larry Centers, like fullbacks.
Jalen Rashard, Darren Sproles. There's a million guys like
Sproles
that.
Will run the ball a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So we're both picking Dallas, obviously. Arizona at Baltimore, we're both picking Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, Houston, we're both picking Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we're obviously not getting bombed during the NFL regular season because we're approaching like the 50-minute mark, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe some KC weeks we won't have a lot of takes. This is week one.
Yeah. KC at Oakland, we're picking KC. Chicago at Denver.
But by the way, we didn't really talk about Oakland at all. I will say, you know, especially for fantasy reasons, like Josh Jacobs, he's in a great spot. He's going to come down to earth. Tyrell Williams, not going to have 100 yards every week. Darren Waller, not going to have 70 yards every week. Like, those guys are all going to, you know, it's not like their skill position players are superstars or anything.
It was hard for me to gauge from Hard Knocks whether Darren Waller was any good or whether Hard Knocks was just trying to create a story there.
Yeah.
So when people drafted him in fantasy, like in traditional leagues, I actually kind of snickered.
It's funny. All the guys who like starred for them were not even featured. Like Mayo had two sacks, and Tyrell Williams, who you didn't see, had a touchdown. Josh Jacobs was not even, I don't think, mentioned. Maybe he was in one scene, but he had, you know, he was.
It was a very weird editing season for Hard Knocks.
Well, people said that the Raiders sort of like, you know, because the Raiders didn't let them in for the final cuts and stuff. It wasn't a great season.
Yeah.
You didn't see the GM.
And there was so much potential there.
You also didn't see Mark Davis.
Antonio Brown stuff. Yeah.
And Vontaze Burfict, who's like a crazy person, was not even mentioned on the show.
But him and Richie Incognito were apparently two of the calm, collected veterans on that team.
I mean, man, Gruden was relieved when he won that game. Listen, they could be competent because their offense, like, if you have a decent offensive line and a quarterback who throws the ball quickly, like, that's one major thing that most bad teams don't have.
9-point underdogs at home in week two. They're not.
I'm just saying, like, they might be a 7-9 team that's better than what we thought they might be a week ago with Antonio Brown. Like, put Antonio Brown on this team. This is maybe a 500 team.
They beat Joe Flacco at home. Let's calm ourselves before we jump to conclusions. All right. Chicago at Denver. This line makes
one of the more interesting games of the week. I do think it's going
to
be
you got this one right, by the way. You said Denver to be favored by one. They're actually favored by 1.5. Although these are guests.
It was before, because now I would say it would go the other way for sure.
Yeah, there's no way that
Denver was in the playoffs before they won. Like, people were going nuts about them on Sunday night, Monday morning. Like, Denver's the sixth seed in the AFC. People were loving Denver, and then they saw them play. They're like, oh, right, I forgot. Joe Flacco's just abysmal.
Yeah. This is what happens when I work from home. Yes? Yeah, you turn the light on?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Chicago at Denver. Chicago's going to come into Denver, and Mitch Trubisky is going to get some penitence for his week one performance, I think.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, Chicago's going to win, but again, it's going to be 7-3 Chicago.
I'm on the phone. All right, Saints at Rams. Amazing game Sunday night. I'm very excited for this one.
No, this is not Sunday night. This is the national game, right?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, this is the national. Oh, yeah.
It's a fair mistake because this game is too good to be just a 4 o'clock game. This has to be a night game.
Yeah. Also, because it's the third to last game on my list, and I forgot that we only have one Monday night.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah. Because Philly Atlanta should be the 4 o'clock game, and this should be the New Orleans. Yeah. Rams.
Very odd, considering how controversial.
No, but teams get very finite amount of. What's it called?
Yeah, but Saints Rams was the game of the year last year.
I agree, but maybe they owed Fox a favor. A lot of this is politics. Team, you know, networks arguing for games. It's going to be a great game. I like the Rams here. You know, I love the Saints defense. It's not an embarrassing give up 28 points to Houston. Every team might do that.
Saints were a bit underwhelming in week one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I think going into Carolina and winning is more impressive than winning at home against.
I agree. I mean, they're pretty similar. They're both really good wins, I think. Carolina, both playoff teams.
Yeah, I have Rams also, but you know, I wouldn't be shocked either way. Obviously, I was surprised that this line opened at 3. I thought it'd be opening at 2.5 because I just thought the Rams did not look that great, notwithstanding the fact that they won in week one. Mm-hmm. But it started at 3. All right, Philly at Atlanta. This line makes no sense to me. All of us thought Atlanta should be favored. Philly's favored by one. Philly did not look that great.
They didn't look great.
Atlanta looked awful.
Atlanta's not that bad. Come on. Yeah. And now they Atlanta's did lose
still
a
9-7, 10-16.
Like a starter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's the problem. If they lose this week, Dan Quinn has like the hottest seat in the league, basically.
Yeah. Pittsburgh and Atlanta are in the most must-win scenarios in week two.
Yeah, but not the coaches. Tomlin's not in a hot seat.
Well, Pittsburgh never fires a coach, but you
plus,
know.
Tomlin, like, everyone's going crazy because, like, oh, yeah, he's a genius for not having Antonio Brown go insane, you know.
Yeah. Overwhelming disagreement there. The Steelers losing Brown, I blame 100%. I mean, Brown's
I agree. Yeah.
But they went from an elite offense to a team that scored 3 points. Mm-hmm. So.
And by the way, we didn't talk about him at all. And, you know, the team sucked. But Le'Veon Bell looked very spry in week one.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything, like, statistically, but he looked good.
Yeah.
Philly, Atlanta. I want to say
Atlanta.
I want to say Philly, but Atlanta has to win this game.
They have to win. And then your beloved Jets on Monday Night Football. Cleveland at the Jets last year.
Yeah,
the team
first ever Monday Night Football game, which is, I think, why they made this the Monday Night Football game in week two. It was was Jets-Browns. I think the Browns are going to win. I wish the Jets were good, but Myles Garrett is going to become very well acquainted with Sam Darnold, I feel like. The Jets corners, like I said, they were the worst unit of any unit in the league. Like, the Jets corners are worse than any other team's anything, and that was proven, even though they only gave up 17 points, that was proven correct. Like, Trumaine Johnson, who's one of the highest, if not the highest paid cornerback in the league, made Zay Jones look like Jerry Rice. John Brown ran roughshod on Dowell Roberts. Had one of the worst games I've ever seen a corner have. I think they threw at him 9 times. It was like 7 for 85 and a touchdown, and he had 3 penalties. He literally, the most embarrassing thing you could do in football is get a pass interference penalty on a play where you also give up a deep touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? You cheated and lost and gave up. So Roberts had that and 2 other really bad penalties. I mean, this team was their best corner was Brian Poole, who was the nickelback for the Falcons last year. If you remember the Falcons secondary, that's not great. This team, their secondary is going to ruin their season, the Jets. So I think Mayfield goes nuts. If you can't handle Zay Jones, John Brown, how exactly, and Devin Singletary, the Bills didn't run him once in the first half. Then he had 4 carries for 80-something yards in the second half. C.J. Mosley, the Jets' big money linebacker free agent from the Ravens, was not just the best player on the field, maybe the best player in the league on Sunday. Like, he was in every play, like 40-yard pass, Mosley's breaking it up. A pick six, Mosley. He was unreal. It was crazy. Then he went out in the fourth quarter where he went out 16-0, and then the Bills just scored in 3 straight possessions. I've never seen like an inside linebacker change a game like that. And the second he went, they just had no team anymore. So you go from trying to defend John Brown and Zay Jones to Odell and Landry. It's probably going to get ugly. Jets are going to lose by 20. 30-10, Browns.
30-10, wow. All right, so we're going to disagree on only 2 games this week. It's both of the games in the Meadowlands. I have both of the New York teams winning. I have Freddie Kitchens. What were his odds on first coach fire?
I don't remember. Probably like in the top 12 or so. I'd say Quinn.
Oh, really?
Quinn is high right now. Flores is probably really high. I know that's crazy to only coach 1 game. It's very hard to get fired. When was the last guy got fired in the middle of their first season? I can't ever remember it happening.
At some point, NFL fans will have to learn, because this happens literally every year. Whichever bad team wins the offseason is never good.
Yeah.
You know, the Browns being on the cover of SI was just so insane. And I feel bad for the Browns fans, but I don't, you know, again, I still think the Browns are a decent team. I think they're a 9-7 type team. But I think they're going to lose this week.
From your mouth to Adam Gase's ears.
All right, Keith, talk to you next week. Bye. Some days I just want to leave the negativity in my head. I just want relief from my stress. I just want relief from my stress. Some days I don't want to see or have a bunch of people to impress. I just want relief from my stress. Yeah, I just want relief from my stress. Yo, this life got my head spinning. Wonder what I'd do if I knew these were my last minutes. Wonder if I had a week to live, would I stay tripping? Wasting every day that I had left trying to sell tickets. Or maybe call my dad, say I love him and laugh with him. Take a couple days and get away from this fast living. I don't love my work the way I did, man. This whole business has got me feeling jaded. Friends I had, now they act different. It's all switching, whoa. Yeah, it's pretty hard to watch things you used to love turn to things that you wish you forgot. Real moments that make you question the things that you want. Got me growing mentally, but stressing me out till I drop over the top. It's where I live on a daily basis. I always find a way to find the bad in good situations. It's sad, huh? Yeah, I live my
My life on the edge, don't want the meds. I'm just trying to get relief from my stress, you know. Some days, I just want to leave the negativity in my head. I just want relief from my stress. I just want relief from my stress. Some days, I don't want to see or have a bunch of people to impress. I just want relief from my stress. Yeah, I just want relief from my stress. These stress levels are not healthy. I'm waiting for that call saying records are not selling. I wonder when this all disappears and they forget me. Will I feel like I found who I was to be more empty? I wonder, was I wrong thinking this is where God led me? Or did I get involved with something that was too heavy? I drive until I'm lost and just sit in my car yelling. My inner critic talks. I'm just hoping that God helps me to stop stressing. Yeah. Some days, I just wanna leave the negativity in my head. I just want relief from my stress. I just want relief from my stress. Some days, I don't wanna see or have a bunch of people to impress. I just want relief from my stress. Yeah, I just want relief from my stress. Yeah, some days.